right, everybody. Well, good evening. Welcome to the continuing Koine Greek class of the Lord's New Testament, the Koine Greek, which Almighty God used to, in fact, write His precious word. We've been studying now in the Koine for about a little over two years. We've got a long way to go, but we've covered some really important things. Tonight, we're going to really get into it, cover some really good ground. And we know that this isn't exactly easy material, the Greek, but it is material that needs attention, continuous attention, but the rewards are phenomenal, since we can understand the original language that the Lord chose to write His awesome New Testament scriptures in. And matter of fact, the Word of God is awesome. There's no doubt about it. And we are very fortunate human beings, no matter what you might think about yourself or what you might be going through. We are all extremely fortunate human beings to have grown up to this age in this body of flesh, to understand and have the Word of God, and to understand the things we do about His precious Word, understanding who He is, there are words, there are not words that cover what is in store for us, and how blessed we are. That's, no matter how we feel, that's a fact. And those blessings are, according to the Word of God, are without repent or retraction. And, you look around at this world and why they wouldn't want to know Him is amazing. But nevertheless, He's chosen us out, and I really hope that all of you understand that. All of you understand it on a daily basis, and that we all understand that it is extremely and very, very real, what's happening here in His Son, and just His complete plan is amazing. We are in a battle, and there's many ways that we are being confronted by principalities and powers that are evil. We know that, and that's a whole nother ball of wax. We're recording, Ron. That is a whole nother subject that I'd like to do talk about someday. But tonight, we're in the Almighty's Koine Greek New Testament. And first of all, I'd like to explain to you, should have, At every lesson that we go through, I'll just say this. All of you should bring your text, which is from Dr. Black. All of you should have a Greek-English interlinear at all times. And then all of you should bring your Byzantine text, which is just the Koine Greek without any English. And you should always have that, amongst other things. But this is my battle plan, and we have time. Sure, thanks. Sorry I didn't mention it. We have time, but we know that Ronnie, Chip, and Tony aren't getting any younger, and so we want to make sure that we get some good knowledge into their brains before, who knows what happens to them. And so, I'm getting younger. In the Lord, I suppose we are. But seriously, time is very precious. And, if anybody's got a bird's eye seat to what's happening in this life and in this world, it's us. And so we should be very The Lord tells us to be very judicious with our time, and so we should. So I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the saints coming together tonight over your precious word. We pray that we might have an extreme love and an extreme joy in studying your Koine Greek of your New Testament. We know that it's not easy, but we know, and we believe that it's even a principle with you, that excellent things don't come easy. Walking for you isn't easy in this world doesn't want to know you. And so we suffer in many ways, but we know that you are totally with us at all times. You are behind us. You are teaching us, and we pray that we might have an extreme zeal for this Koine Greek. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Head, amen. All right, looking at your text, this is my battle plan. All right, now, tonight, we are going to, you look at your text, and we're going to finish off lesson number 7, I believe. Lesson number 7, tonight we're going to go through, if we get to it, pages 52, 53, 54, 55, and 56, but especially pages 52, 53, 54, and 55, and then we will have completed lesson number 7. Now, my battle plan is this, is that we're going to keep on going. You can say, well, this is just a lot of material. Well, you know, you got, as Winchester says, you're going to have to put your big boy pants on, you're going to have to put your big girl pants on, and you're going to have to deal with it. And what we're going to do then is, in subsequent weeks, we're going to go into, if you turn to page 58, you'll notice that that's lesson number 8. And it talks about prepositions. Those are very important. And I think that these things, you know, it talks about out of, in. If you turn to page 60, it's very, they got a chart there that's really interesting. We should know these things. And I believe that if you look on the chart on page 60, I believe that your minds will, they'll perk up to this, because I think all of you have dealt with these prepositions. Okay, and you keep on going, you keep on going, and then you turn to page 65, personal pronouns, and this is important. Personal pronouns are very important, and they're another thing that you'll probably be familiar with. And then you turn to page 70, and notice that on pages 70 and 71, there's examples of scriptures in which the Koine is being used, and what we have been taught is being applied. To me, that's very important at this time. And then you turn to page 73, and lesson number 10, you find the perfect and pluperfect active indicative, and we have to get through that. And then what we're going to do after that is, in subsequent weeks, we're going to go back and we're going to live in lessons number 1 and 10, 1 through 10, 1 through 10, for a number of months. All right? Because this is the reason why, okay? So this is the reason why. If you turn to page 18, I'm sorry, turn to page 15. Pardon me, you turn to page 15. You'll notice there on page 15, tenses, right? There's 7 tenses in the Koine Greek. Present, future, imperfect, aorist, perfect, pluperfect, and future perfect. We've been through this a number of times. 7 tenses. Then you'll notice that we're dealing with all of those tenses in the active indicative. And we'll go over that a little bit more today, what that is, the active indicative. But if you'll notice that if we go through lessons 1 through 10, all of those tenses will be covered. You'll notice that in lesson number 10, you turn to page 73, again, you'll notice that this is the perfect and pluperfect active indicative. All right? And then you go back to page 15, turn back to that again, or 14, and you'll notice that the pluperfect and future perfect, hold on a second. Yeah, well, future perfect. Apparently, maybe we're not going to get into the future perfect, but the point of it is, or I think we will, but the point of it is that if we get through lesson number 10, we're almost covering all of these tenses, all of their endings, and then there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, all right? So we're going to go into that. All right, so now what we want to do is we want to turn to page number 19, all right? Turn to page 19 for starters. Actually, page 18. Page 18, all right? And this is what's important. All of us, this is what you're going to have to do. If you want to learn anything, and this is very serious, if you want to start learning anything about this language, you're going to have to make a chart. You're going to have to get a big sheet of paper, you know, a big sheet of manila paper, maybe, 3 feet by 2 feet high, and you're going to have to write down the following paradigms. Are you ready? You'll notice that this book is divided into these little, like what I call mini lessons. You'll notice on page 18 that number 19, mini lesson number 19, it covers the present and future active indicative of luo, to loose. All right? So that gray box right there covers two of the tenses, and there's suffixes at the end. Do you all see that? You're going to have to acknowledge me with a computer yes. Do you all see what I'm talking about? All right. Now turn to page 50, 50. Turn to page 50. On page 50. You have the imperfect and errorous active indicative of luo. And then you have the box there with the endings. You see that? Well, if you put that down on the same chart, then you will be covering four of the seven tenses and their endings for the example of the Greek verb form to loose, luo. That's what this Dr. Black is doing. Then turn to page 70. 7-zip. Turn to page 70. Oh, I'm sorry, page 73. Page 73, you have the perfect active indicative of the verb luo and their endings. So then we have five tenses covered. And then turn to page 76. And you have, on page 76, you have the pluperfect active indicative of the verb to loose, luo. And so you can see, if you put all of those down in a chart, if you put down mini lessons, 19, 49, 70, and 73, all together, side by side, in a chart, you'll be able to look at how many tenses, at least six out of the seven tenses, and all of the verb form endings right in front of your face. And you have to do that. Is this work? Yeah. Is it memory work? Yeah. Is it work that you're going to have to sit down almost like artwork and do it? Yeah. Are you going to be writing out Greek forms? Yeah. Are you going to be, you know, having to spend some time with it? Yeah. Thing of it is that what you're doing here is if you do that, you are cashing in on what Dr. Black is trying to do here. So and after that, you know, I don't know if he covers the future perfect. Mae he does that in later lessons, but through the first 10 lessons, if you write down that chart, you will have covered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of these tenses, as far as tense is concerned. And then, if you're wondering what active indicative is, well, look on page number 14 and number 15. Because we have 7 tenses, which are tenses, and they tell you certain things about how verbs are used. Like if you turn to page 14, and, you know, we've gone over this many times, the present tense, I love, the future tense, I will love, that makes sense. The imperfect tense and the aorist tense are like past tense. Imperfect tense, I was loving. The aorist tense, I loved. The perfect tense, I have loved. And the pluperfect tense, I had loved. Now, we can all understand that in the English. And so, if we write all of these endings down in this big chart, and we realize what these tenses mean, and we realize, we take the meaning of these tenses and we combine them with the endings that we see in these verbs, it's going to kind of soak into our minds. And, you know, certainly this isn't going to happen overnight. But you have to make this chart. You have to do it. If you don't do it, I recommend getting what's called a boot machine. And if you wonder what a boot machine is, if you have a good boot machine, you pull the rope really quickly, like out from your face, and then this boot gives you a real solid shot to your buttocks every time you pull the rope. And I recommend that if you don't do this, that you do that at least 3 times a week to kind of remind you what you should be doing. All right, so it's either the chart or the boot machine. All right, great. And then, going back, so then those are tenses of verbs, right? Only in Wisconsin, yeah, your mother. And those are tenses of the verbs. Well, what's active indicative? All right, so we have all these tenses. We understand that, right? Okay, say that, you guys, do you understand what's meant by tenses on page 14? You got to acknowledge this. Do you understand that? Do you understand present, future, imperfect, aorist, right? You can understand that, right? Well, then what does active indicative mean? All right, well, let's go back to that. All right, so we have an understanding of what verb tenses are. It helps us understand when the action of the verb happens. When? Past, present, future, and certain ambiances, certain inflections of certain words. That's really important, right? Because eventually, in tonight's lesson, or maybe next week if we don't get to it, we're going to go into some scriptures, and we're going to see the Lord talking. We're going to see the Apostle Paul talking, and you're going to see these tenses of these verbs used in effect. And, you know, that'll start saying, hey, you know, if I learn these endings and tenses, I might be able to translate the New Testament better than I see in some translations. And as a matter of fact, that is true. As a matter of fact, if we get to it, I'm going to point that out this week or next week, and it's really excellent. So, what I'm going to try to do is we're going to try to start applying what we know to the scriptures. And then you'll see it right in the Word of God. Okay. So if we turn back to page 12. All right. Okay, so we're learning these tenses. Okay, present tense, future tense, aorist tense, perfect tense, pluperfect tense. Okay, so we understand that. But then what is active indicative? Well, if we turn back to page 12, we notice that Greek verb forms have mood and they have voice. So that's what the active indicative means. Not only are there tenses in verb, but as we saw before, there's moods, and then there's voice. So if we read again, if we read on page 12, mood, I'm going to read it. Notice that each form of the word echo, to have, I have, given above, makes an affirmation. In Koine Greek, an affirmation is said to be the indicative mood. So not only are we going to be studying about the tenses of the six tenses, but we're also going to be studying about the mood of affirmation, which is called the indicative mood. And then it goes on to say the term mood comes from the Latin modus, meaning measure or manner. Mood refers to the manner in which the speaker relates the verbal idea to reality. The indicative mood indicates that the speaker affirms the factuality of the statement. All right? As in, I have mercy. Greek has other moods as well. A verb can express a command. That's the imperative mood. Lord, have mercy. It can express contingency. That's the subjunctive mood. He have mercy. And it can express a verbal idea without limiting it by specifying person or number. That's the infinitive mood. Okay, well, this gets pretty complicated, like chess, or like physics with applied calculus, maybe, or calculus. Well, so what? You know, I mean, we have the Holy Spirit, and this is what it is. So we have to get about learning. So what we're going to do is we're going to, in this chart, you're only going to have to be concerned about one mood, the indicative mood, the mood of affirmation, the mood that relates, that affirms the factuality of a statement. All right? So in this chart that you're certainly going to put together, you're going to be learning about six tenses and the indicative mood. And then look over on page 13. Voice. It says here under mini lesson number 14, voice. In addition to mood and in addition to tense, I could say, Koine Greek verbs also are also said to express voice. Whereas mood refers to the way in which a speaker chooses to affirm the reality or unreality of an action, voice relates to the way in which the speaker chooses to relate the grammatical subject of a verb to the action of that verb. A verb is said to be in the active voice when the subject is presented as performing the action. So, then, going back to what we're going to have in this chart, we're going to have six tenses. It's going to be in the indicative mood, which is the mood of affirmation, the mood that affirms the factuality of a statement, and it's going to be in the active voice, the voice where the subject is performing the action. So in this chart that you're certainly going to write up, you're going to see that there are all of these verbs that have these endings, and these endings have to do with the indicative, active, certain tenses. So when you learn the endings of these verbs, it means that when you confront these verbs on this chart that you're going to learn, it has to do with affirming the factuality of a statement, and it's the subject doing the action. You could even put that on the chart. What is the indicative action? The indicative active, it is the affirmation, the mood of affirmation, the indicative. It means that it affirms the factuality of a statement being made, and it's in the active voice where the subject is performing the action. You can put that right on that chart, and you could say, well, that's a lot. Okay, well, it's a lot. But the point of it is that if you put that in front of you, you're going to have a good substantial amount of what Dr. Black is teaching you in close to half of this book, all right? And you can have it in a chart right in front of you. So you make that chart up. You put mini lessons 19, 49, 70, and 73 on that chart. And actually, if you write that down and you make that up, after a while, if you get into it, it's going to be fun and it's going to be interesting. I find that to be. Just don't pour coffee on it like I did. So I got to make another one. All right, and then you could make another mini chart and turn to page 22. Page 22. And this has to do with the verb I am. Turn to page 22. Another mini chart. You can get a sheet of paper that's maybe a little bit smaller. And what you should do is you should write down on this smaller chart mini lessons number 23 and 55. And it has to do with the verb I am. Now certainly that's very important. So going back, the bigger chart should have mini lessons 19, 49, 70, and 73 on them. 19, 49, 70, 73. All of these boxes or paradigms put together side by side with all their meanings. And, you know, that's very important. Just, you know, time back I was learning how to do a martial art kick and a Thai kick, a Thai, like, roundhouse kick. And I was in front of this really good instructor, and I would ask him, well, what about this and what about that? What about this and what about that? And he said, you know what, Mike, just kick. I said, what? He goes, kick. Just kick. You know, and a little bit I got really upset at him. It's like, what? You're not going to answer my question? You're going to tell me just kick? Yeah, just kick. Kick, kick, kick. Right, right, look, study. Okay, so what he was getting at is he was getting at, man, you can talk all the day long, but you're going to have to get to kicking. And then after that, maybe after a bunch of weeks of kicking, then you can ask me some questions. That's what he was getting at. So here, with this chart, just kick, all right? Just do it. Now, on page 22, you have a paradigm for I am there. M-E-A, Esteen, Esmen, Esta, Ace, Seen. I am, you are, he is, we are, you all are, and they are. You should write that down. Really important. Then you turn to page 55. Page 55, and you'll notice the imperfect indicative for a me, or I am. And it's amen, ace, ain, amen, eta, and asan. I was, you were, he was, we were, you all were, and they were. You write those two down. Two mini lessons, number 23 and 55 on one chart. And just kick, just do it, write it down, and look at it. Otherwise, if you don't do that, you're going to be really at a loss as time goes on, because this is in fact what this text is trying to teach you, and so it's really important to do that. Charts are very important because we can see at a glance the endings for at least six different tenses for the indicative active, for the indicative mood, and the active voice. Very important. All right, and certainly this carries on right into the scriptures, you know. So what we're going to begin to do is we're going to begin to start looking at the scriptures with the use of what we've learned. Now, you could say, well, I don't understand what's back in lesson number 4. Well, that's okay. What I told you is I told you that, you know, we could spin our wheels in one lesson for a year. And my idea, you know, and so far we've been through verbs, we've been through adjectives, we've been through nouns, we've been through tenses, we've been through voices, we've been through moods, we've been through what a paradigm is, we've been through the alphabet, we've been through all, you guys have been exposed mentally to a lot of things in the Koine. So if nothing else, you can do it on your own. At least you won't be, you know, at least you won't be totally lost. It's like, you know, going somewhere where somebody teaches you something. And then you go somewhere where another person is teaching the same thing, and you walk in and go, yeah, I might not remember everything, but I feel more comfortable now because this second guy, I sort of understand what he's talking about already, rather than walking into the room and you're like totally ignorant. Well, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because eventually, adjectives, we've been over that, and eventually you're gonna be able to work on your own. And some of these things are very important, like prepositions and personal pronouns. Those are very important for you to be subject to, at least initially. And then, like I said, we're gonna go back and live in these first 10 lessons for a few months. And then after that, when I believe we've hammered that at least enough, we'll go on again and learn further, you know. But what I really want to do, and what I really, and I don't know, I almost am afraid to mention this because it's going to take more work on my part, sob, is that, you know, I could personally, which this author does not actually do, but I could personally, you know, go into the Koine Greek New Testament, and I could look for examples right in the scriptures of some of the things that we learn in a particular, like let's say in lesson 4 or 5, that he really didn't do. Not saying that he knows what he's doing better than I do, but, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if I gave these guys examples in the scriptures, you know, that might be more helpful to your minds and your hearts, but at this point, you know, I'm a failure at that so far. But that's what I'm sort of planning on doing, is that, starting to apply these right with the scriptures, like an interlinear, and then you'll see, like, let's say you see an aorist tense verb, and you look in the interlinear, and it's not, even in the English, it's not translated exactly correctly. You go, well, whoa, you know, like, hey, this is pretty neat, and it is. So I can see that. You can see that once we get going. So, all right. Well, having said all that, I hope that all made sense. But it does make sense. So it's either chart time or boot machine time, or shoe shop time if you. If you want to use that term, shoe shop, making a shoe shop in your buttocks, that might be helpful. And with some teachers, maybe Doherty might have used that at one time. I know Ron's dad did. Ronnie. All right, so let's turn back to lesson number 7 on page number 52. Now, in lesson number 7. We notice that on page 50, I'm sorry, go back to 50, we notice that we were introduced to the imperfect and aorist active indicative of the verb to loose, luo. And you'll notice in the paradigm there, I'm not going to go over that, but it gives you the six, the breakdown of six suffixes as to the person, singular, first, second, and third, singular, and first, second, and third, plural. The important part of it is these endings, and then notice that the imperfect and what it means. I was loosing, you were loosing, he was loosing. You have to get in your minds what the imperfect tense is getting at. it's getting at kind of like a past tense. I was, you were. You know, like let's say the second tense, imperfect second person plural. You all were loosing. You were loosing. You have to get that in your mind. The imperfect is like a past tense. Tense. And then the same thing with the aorist tense. You'll notice that the aorist indicative active and the endings, I loosed, you know, it didn't have the was or the were in there. You loosed, he loosed, we loosed, you loosed, or you all loosed, and they loosed. Well, actually, the aorist, I told you, is very important in your calling because it's a once and for all action that continues on into the future, into eternity. The aorist tense. The Lord chose. He chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us in Him. And once we were chosen, once we recognized that, I don't think that was the middle voice there. That could be in the middle voice, you know, but that's something in the future there. That's something in the future. There, Dory, these verbs actually tell you about the mind of God. You know, they do. They tell you what He's doing. They tell you what He's doing with you. They tell you when He did it. They tell you how long His actions are going to carry forth. Things like that. You know, extremely important things, yes. So you can look at it that way, that in learning these tenses, You're learning God's mind. You know, you are. We are. We're learning God's mind. I mean, other than that, we're learning His mind through the English, through the King James, which is adequate, no doubt about it. I learned my calling through the King James. You know, but, you know, as adults, we can do better. And the opportunity is there. It is there if you want it. You're going to have to work for it. And that's the way the Lord works anyway. It doesn't say He's going to reward you for those that eat sweet rolls and drink beer and say you know Him. It says that for those who diligently seek Him, He's going to reward you. That's the way He works. I know that about His mind. So if I am sitting there and I have all my library put together and I walk back by my study room and I go, oh yeah, I got a real good study. And then I come back the next day and I go, oh, yeah, I already got a lot of books there. And then I come back the next week and go, oh, man, do I got a lot of books. So what? There they are. They're not doing anything. And furthermore, I'm not doing anything either. So then I feel real guilty, and that's good. So that's how the Lord works. He does work that way. So then when we turn to page 52, we're going to notice something more about the aorist tense. And, you know, this gets kind of involved, but that's okay. We're going to go through it. And, you know, I noticed that we got about 20 minutes left. And we can always come back to this. What I'm going to do is accelerate these studies. And, in college, if we were in college, you would be coming to my class or our class or this class 3 days a week. And we meet one day a month, you know, so, you know, we're looking at 12-to-1 ratio here. So I'm going to try to accelerate that at least maybe two times a month. But let's turn to page 52. So, you know, just don't worry about what you don't know or whatever. Just praise the Lord for what you do know. And then, you know, he will give you the strength and the heart to go on from there if that's what you choose. And you got a choice. So last time we worked up to mini lesson number 52 on page 52. And so let's start there a little bit. Koine Greek contains not one, but two basic patterns for forming the aorist tense. The aorist tense is kind of like a past tense, but I would say to you that it is action that is it's done in the past, but it's a completed action once and forever. The difference between these patterns is one of form only. That is, the past forms of, let's say, the English, bake or baked, make or made, take or took, wake or awoke. Verbs that have the aorist forms contain Aris active morpheme, the Aris active morpheme sigma alpha. That's how you identify the Aris tense. These are called first aorist and form, and the forms are called first aorist forms. Most Koine Greek verbs have first aorist forms. So you're going to find a lot of first aorist form verbs in your calling. Ephesians, Colossians, awesome, awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome stuff, folks. Really, it is. Once you get a handle on it. Goes on to say, okay, however, a number of Koine Greek verbs have a second aorist form, which are identical to the forms of the imperfect tense, except for their stems. That's interesting. Yes, it's involved. That's the way it is. Learning chess. Did you ever learn chess? You walk up to a chessboard and you see all these pieces on it. Well, how much do you know after a couple of months of learning chess? How good are you? Okay, and then you learn chess for a year. How good are you? Then to be a competitive chess player, how long do you have to play chess? How long does it take for you to see 5, 6, 7, 10 moves ahead in chess so that you're a world-class pro? Well, I'll leave that to you. But it's the same. It's the same here. The more you put in, the more you get out. The more your brain is saturated with this, the more you know. Going on. It says, this can be seen by comparing the forms for imperfect and second aorist active indicative of lapo, I leave. And you'll notice down in the paradigm there, that's what these gray boxes are. A paradigm is showing you the suffix endings of verbs, and they're showing you in first, second, third, singular and plural person, and they're in the active voice, and you see this for the imperfect, elepon, I was leaving, elepes, you were leaving, elepen, I'm sorry, he was leaving, elepamen, we were leaving, elepeta, you all were leaving, elepon, they were leaving. And then the second aorist, it's elepon, I left, elepis, you left, elepen, he left, elepamen, we all left, elepeta, you all left, and elepon, it's elepon, it's not ele, it's ele, iota, elepon, so it should be elepon, elepes, elepen, elepamen, or elepamen, elepate, and elepon. Elepon. Actually, you have to really notice the accent. Notice that in the second aorist there, that the accent is on the epsilon, except for the second person plural. It's on the iota. And see, that's very important. I want to stress that. No matter what it takes, every time you see a Greek form and you see the accent, get used to pronouncing it correctly. Really. Because that's going to help you. It's going to help you. It's going to help you when you look into the lexicons. It's going to help you avoid problems and mistakes. So you get the accents down. And once, you know, if you hammer that in your head, hey, I got to get this right. It's sort of like, yeah, I don't know, sort of like driving a car, you know, you want to make sure if you're parallel parking, there's certain things that you do. I think one of the rules is you back up so that when you look to the right, your head is right by the rear bumper of the other car, and then you crank it. And that, you know, if you sloughed off doing that, you might bash your fender into his back end. If you don't, you know, so these rules are very important, and so you want to be a pro, you want to be correct. You want to be the best. You want to be the best for the Lord. And, this is kind of a forgotten language, by the way. So you can feel real cool about yourself in the fact that the Koine Greek in the modern world is not well known at all. And it's, not practiced at all, not spoken at all, and just, you know, maybe like the scriptures, I don't know how many billion, what are there, 7 billion people, you know, how many people in the world compare are concerned about the Greek New Testament of the Lord. So, you know, so we really shouldn't be surprised. Going on with page 52, it states, notice that the second aorist differs from the imperfect not by adding the sigma alpha or any other aspect morphing to the stem of the verb, but by differences within the stem itself. The stem of the imperfect form elepon is lape, but the stem of the second aorist elepon is leap. Thus, the only difference between imperfect and second aorist indicative is that the imperative is formed on the present stem, while the second aorist is formed on the aorist stem. Well, you know, that gets a little bit involved, but it does make sense. And, you know, if you look that over, you know, I can read this, you know, but as far as me having it soak in your mind, you're going to have to look over that, and it takes concentration. But that's okay. The Lord can help you out with your concentration. Turn to page 53 on mini lessons 53. Second aorist stems. The original stem of a Koine Greek verb is often preserved in the second aorist stem. For example, the second aorist indicative of montano, I learn, is emathon. Emathon, the stem of which math forms the basis of both mathetuo, I make a disciple, and mathetes, a learner or a disciple. Compare also the following forms. And here's just another little mini lesson of what's being spoken about there. You know, but we notice that disciples, which are certainly very important, and learners or a disciple is being talked about here. So, hey, you know, if you want to learn how the Holy Spirit wrote these different forms concerning disciples, well, hey, here it is, right here. We're not learning about how we buy an airplane ticket to Greece. We're learning about the Lord's holy word. And, you know, that to me, personally speaking, is what? It's like there's a beauty in there, and there's a jewel to grab onto if you want. I keep on saying that because I'm saying it to myself. You know, there's jewels in here that have to do with eternity. And, you know, we're on a plane here that we're walking for a number of years, and then we're out of here. You know, and, you know, that's going to happen overnight to you. And, heck, my uncle just died yesterday. You know, I've seen younger sisters die. All these things, bam-o, people are gone. They were here, then they're gone. And, you know, then your mind thinks, well, what does the Lord think about all that? What does the Lord think about what you're doing? What does the Lord think about what you're doing with your calling? What does the Lord think about what you're doing with the Word right now? Does it matter? You know, all these, does it make a difference? Well, yeah, it makes a big difference to Him. And so, you know, you're dealing with, and we are dealing with, we're dealing with eternal, extremely important things in the Scriptures. And so we've been given a charge, and we've been given a gift. And then it's a matter, in the short period of time, what we do with it. And then the consequences are going to be eternal. Think about it. I mean, really, I think about that all the time when I come up on the short end of what I should be doing. Well, let's look at the paradigm box on page 53. Notice the rough breathing in the first form for I sin. Ha martano. Notice that the breathing mark over the alpha is to the right. Ha martano, I sin. The aorist is hey martan, I sinned. The verb stem is hamart, and the English derivative is hamartology. Look at the next form, Urisco, I find. The aorist is uran, I found. And the verb stem is ur. And you'd have to, you know, you'd have to look at this. Lambano, I take. El lamban, I took. And the stem is lab. Now, what's really good about this is that when you look in the Greek dictionary, or what is called a lexicon, let's say you're studying the scriptures in the interlinear, and you run into a Koine Greek form, and then you look in the lexicon, and it's not there. And you go, what is going on? Wait a minute. This Greek form is in the scriptures, but I don't find it in the Greek dictionary. What's with that? Well, what's happening is that you are looking at a Greek form in the New Testament that is a it's an inflection of a root that is different from the form itself. Did that make sense to you? Let's look here. Let's say lambano here, the middle one. Lambano, I take. Elamban, I took, but it comes from lab. It doesn't come from a lambano root, it comes from the root lab. So what you have to do is you have to get a Koine Greek lexicon that not only shows you the definitions, but it also shows you the original root forms. And there is a Greek lexicon that is from that man and wife team, that you should have that one. I forgot their names right now, but I can get it in a minute. The Freibergs. I would recommend having that, and I would recommend also having, not saying that I'm anything special, but I found a, what's the other one? I have a Freiberg, which all of you should have, because the Freiberg shows you the roots. So when you look up a Greek form, you don't get all confused, because If the definition isn't right there, you can look it up under the correct root. And then there's another, I would recommend going to used bookstores and looking for older lexicons, older ones. I forgot the name of the one I have. One second. Yeah, here it is. I have a Thayer's. You get a Thayer's? Right, thanks. And a Freiberg. And the Thayer's I got, I can just say this to you, that a lot of times anymore, older translations and older books are better. Because modern society and the evil one has really wrecked up the scriptures and made them all nicey-nicey and have put translations into really nice language so people can get warm and fuzzy. And the Lord doesn't care about human warm and fuzzy. He cares about truth. And so we're living in a time where demonic powers have infiltrated the scriptures, no doubt about that. I'd stake my life on that one. So there's a lot of modern translations out there of the scriptures that, you know, are more deceptive than they are good. And this Thayer's that I found at an old bookstore, you know, I mean, I don't know what you think about bookstores, but this was formed in 1886. And I got it dirt cheap. And, you know, sometimes I got it for like 10 bucks. And this thing is awesome. Put together with a Freiberg, it's awesome. And, you know, whatever you guys do, if you guys are around a university, and there's, there's a downtown area, sometimes there's a lot of used bookstores around universities, go in there. And go, uh, go into the, you know, into the Greek section and into the scripture section. And sometimes you'll find jewels for dirt cheap because nobody wants them. And that's where I found this thing. And in my opinion, those two, a good Thayer's from the past and a Freiburg, and you're going to be in good shape. Nobody of the world likes them, I should say that. All right, so then, like right now, I can stop if you like, and I can continue in lesson number 7 next time if you like, because yeah, I think we really should, because what's going to happen is this, is like turn to page 54. Turn to page 54, and I'll just read a couple things and then we'll end. As far as the imperfect and aorist indicative active. All right, and when I say aorist indicative active, you should know what I'm talking about. If I say present indicative active, you should say, hey, yeah, he's talking about a verb in the present tense, in the indicative mood, in the active voice. Right? Future indicative active, aorist indicative active. So, you know, you should know what that is. It's kind of confusing, but it's not. So there's at least 6 tenses we learned. We know indicative is a mood of reality, and the active voice is the subject doing it. Present indicative active verb. You should know what that means. You do. So there you go. So you've learned a lot. Now, if we turn to what we're going to do next time, is we're going to go into the scriptures. So next time when we get together, we're going to be going into, if you turn to page 54, we're going to be going into Luke, we're going to be going into Matthew, we're going to be going into Romans, we're going to be going into John, we're going to be going into Philippians, and we're going to be going into Galatians in discussing the imperfect and the aorist indicative active verbs in those passages. And so next time, what you should have is you certainly, all of you, should have a Greek-English interlinear. All of you should have that. And then all of you should have your Byzantine Greek New Testament. And I think Ronnie needs that. I promise to send him one. I haven't yet. So for anybody that needs the Byzantine text, I can just send you one. I have 12 of them. And I get them at a good price, so I can send that to you. Anybody that needs that, you just say, yeah, I need one, and then I'll send you one. And I'm going to say this to you, that there's different opinions as to, there's different opinions as to what is the most correct translation, even in the Greek. And sometime I will tell you about that. But I will tell you this. I will tell you, in my opinion, there is a more correct codex, a more correct rendering, when you get down to fine points than even the Byzantine text. So why am I promoting the Byzantine text? Because it's very, very good. And I can get them out to you at a really minimal price. You know, but when it comes down to studying about translations, that's a whole new other ball of wax. But what we're going to do next time is we're going to go over the different aspects of the imperfect indicative active and the aorist indicative active, and we're going to look at scriptures. All right, so I think that it's going to be really pleasing to you, and I want to get more into the scriptures as we go, so you can say, hey, you know, this stuff really does make sense. So again, you have work to do with your charts. You have work to do with your charts. You know, as far as mini lessons 19, 49, 70, and 73, and also another chart of mini lesson 23 and 55. 23 and 55. And see, the thing about that is that'll be very helpful for you. You'll sit down and you'll write these forms out. You might make mistakes. Do it in pencil. You know, you might have to graph off you know, you're going to have to graph it off, because if you want it to be nice and neat and orderly, and then you're going to be writing the Greek, the letters and all that. You know, just do it. Just kick. You know, don't talk about kicking. Kick. Just kick. And you write the Greek letters, and who cares if they're perfect? Just do it so that they're even and that they're legible. You know, and then, you know, you're going to be learning how to do that. You're going to be seeing the different suffix endings. You're going to be getting, you know, used to this in your mind. And that's very important to do. So what we're going to do next time is that we're going to go into the scriptures as far as the imperfect and aorist indicative active verbs, and you're going to see them with how the Holy Spirit used them actually in the scriptures. And so you can, you guys, if you're wondering, you just look over the last half of lesson number 7, and that'll give you an idea of what we're doing. All right, so all we got to do is pick a time, and like I said, I'm going to look over my schedule, but I believe that I can do another one in August. And so what I'll do is I'm going to do another one in August for sure. And so you can expect that coming. I'm just going to have to pick a date, maybe in 2 weeks, maybe in 3. Hopefully in 2, so we don't get too far out there. Okay, so I hope this all made sense. It does make sense. It will come together, and it is, you know, what Almighty God used for His New Testament. So, you know, I don't know what you think about that, but I think that it is, you know, I don't think Koine Greek is holy, but on the other hand, it's what Almighty God used, and who is He? You know, so I think we should consider these things. And until next time, I'm really glad that all of you guys had the gumption to be here. You know, like, you know, I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy that you people are sticking with this, and really am. And I can't say that enough. It'd be kind of weird to talk to myself, but I know how to do that somewhat. So I love you, and yeah, you are the originals. And hey, you know, you're gonna always get something out of this. I guarantee it. You're always gonna get something out of this class if you use what we've gone over and you go on with it. You're always going to get something. You're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to kick. So just kick and kick. It's either that or the boot machine. So we love you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the ability to have these wonderful gifts. Wonderful gifts we have. We don't even know how fortunate we are to even begin to be studying the Koine Greek, let alone to have the scriptures in our hands. We know that throughout history, many people didn't even have the Word of God, let alone the ability to study the original languages. So we really have some awesome opportunities, and we pray that we might not trample over these and trample them to no effect. We pray that you would give us the hearts and minds to love what you love. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, gave His blood, God in the flesh, who walked among us and gave His blood, God in the flesh, God in the flesh. That's amazing. Amazing thing. He gave His perfect blood for us. And there's no better love than a man dying for his friends. And the scriptures state in John that believers are His friends. We are God's friends, let alone we are also His adopted sons. So, I mean, what can I say? We'll see you guys again. Love you.